We'd like to thank all of you who have come all the way from different places. We thought it would be just three bus visitors, but apparently we have many other guests visiting us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Look who just came in. Subal.
So we are very fortunate to have the Association of His Holiness Srila Rupa Swami Maharaj. Maharaj doesn't need any introduction. Most of us know Maharaj. He visits Chicago Temple a lot and gives us his association with wonderful Krishna Katha always. So we are very fortunate to have his association, and I'd like to thank you all for attending this evening's program. So I think this program is three Bhakti Vikshas combined together. Every month we meet. Initially we were three, one with Bhakti Viksha, but we split into three. So every month we have this, that we come together and have a single Bhakti Viksha. We are fortunate to have this combined Bhakti Viksha in the presence of His Holiness Rupa Swami Maharaj. So today Maharaj will be speaking on the topic Vaishnava Seva. How Bhakti Vriksha is an incubator for the Vaishnava Seva. Or in other words, how Bhakti Vriksha will help nourish the Vaishnava Seva, or the quality of serving, associating with Vaishnavas amongst ourselves. So that's the topic that Maharaj will be speaking on today. So the children can go down to the basement. That's what the hosts have arranged for the children, to go down into the basement. Danila, you said you...
She looks like she needs some help. She looked a little distressed. Is everything all right? Do you need any help? If it gets to the point where you need some help, don't forget that. Don't hesitate. Help!
Thank you.
Okay. Are there amongst, just looking around, I don't see too many, but are there any that are kind of on the really new standard of devotional service, or stage of devotional service, I guess? Anyone in that category? Just like to know where to... Oh, stop it. Just like to know where to begin. Well, so... Huh?
She's new. They just moved
into the neighborhood.
Moved into the neighborhood. Okay. And before you moved into the neighborhood, in the place, wherever it was that you lived, did you have association of devotees like this? So, no. Okay. Anyone else? Kind of new. Like, you know, 2 or 3 months. Yeah?
I am from India.
Really?
My daughter serves.
I never would have guessed. Excuse me. You're visiting your daughter.
Yeah.
And she's leading the way, and you're following happily behind. Oh, this is very nice. Something like that. Uh-huh. How long have you been visiting your daughter here, this time?
She'll be here until December.
Huh?
She'll be here until December.
When did she arrive?
Oh, she came in July.
July. July, August. 2 months.
Just in time for the Gita camp.
Oh. Did you observe that? The Gita camp?
Yeah, Maharaj, I was there.
Ooh, wasn't it nice?
I came on Sunday from India, and I started going for Gita camp from Tuesday.
Yeah.
What a start, huh? You came in for a landing and took off again. Very nice, wasn't it? Very nice. Were you in the kitchen?
Yeah.
But you saw what was going on. Nice. Very nice. place. Okay.
But they kind of attend Bhaktiriksha in
Bangalore, okay. You're not so new.
I keep attending there, Maharaj.
You're not new, you're a veteran. You can teach us some things, I'm sure. Okay. I thought a nice place to begin is from scripture, from scriptural reference. And one very nice scriptural reference is, especially for those of you that are coming to the Chicago Temple for the Sunday program, you know what's the book of the month? Nectar of Devotion. So what does the book of the month, Nectar of Devotion, say about Vaishnava Seva? Well, one of the things it says about Vaishnava Seva is that it's one of the five most potent activities that you can possibly do. Out of the 64 items of devotional service, standard items, five are identified by Rupa Goswami as so important. They're so important that if you do any one of these five without offense, immediately one can taste or enter into the realm of love of God. They're so potent. So that would be very nice. And we're getting the opportunity to do Vaishnava Seva, and who's tasting love of God? So we must not be doing it the best possible way. Because the potency is there. It says that the five are chanting of the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity form of the Lord, associating with devotees, and living in Palatine, Naperville, or Chicago. No, it doesn't say that. Living in a sacred place, such as Vrindavan or Mathura, a place where Krishna performs his pastimes. But when Srila Prabhupada, in July of 1966, was establishing the first ISKCON legal document, according to the state of New York, it requires in the corporation papers that you state the purpose of the religious organization that you want to incorporate, so they can look and see, does it match what the laws of New York State can accept as a religious organization. So one of the purposes of ISKCON was establishing places of pilgrimage. That was really good. He just goes like this and he comes. No, he's not going to come. Okay. Jagadananda is very elastic. He just pulled this thing and it stretches. That'll teach you to sit up front. Where was I? Yeah. The establishing places of pilgrimage, places of pastime of Krishna. Because where there are deities, that's the deity form of Krishna is Krishna, and where Krishna is, he's performing pastimes. Some obvious ones, like receiving offerings and receiving arti and giving his prasad and giving his mercy to the worshippers. But for those who are very qualified, they can understand there's a variety of pastimes that Krishna performs. And it's a loving exchange. So Krishna is performing his pastimes in such places where not only there's deity, but where there's the congregational chanting of the glories of the Lord and the name of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. He's present through that sound vibration. So, such places become sacred places by that sanctification of hearing and chanting and worshipping. So of those five, we're going to be discussing one of them. Association with devotees means serving the devotees. And here's what Prabhupada has presented in Nectar of Devotion under this heading. In, this is just one of two paragraphs. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, there's a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way: "My dear son, association is very important." He doesn't say associating with devotees, he says. "Association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it." That's the power of association. Similarly, that's the end of Hiranyakashipu's quote. "Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there." Another example given in this connection is that if a man is potent and a woman is not diseased, then by their conjugation there will be conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results. Association of devotees means coming together with Krishna at the center, and especially with the Bhagavat process. Bhagavat means in relation to Bhagavan. There are two forms of Bhagavatas: the book and the person Bhagavata. So through hearing topics in relation to Bhagavan, Bhagavat Katha, that process transforms. The association means we do those things together, and when we do those things together, it transforms both of us, the person speaking, the person hearing. The classic of speaking and hearing is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, or Shukadeva Goswami speaking, Maharaj Parikshit hearing. And within the Bhagavatam, there's so many: Sutta Goswami speaking, the sages of Naimisharanya hearing, Maitreya speaking, Vidura hearing, Narada speaking, Yudhisthira hearing. So many examples of that. When Vidura comes back to the royal palace, Vidura is speaking after he's heard from Maitreya and Uddhava, and Yudhisthira is hearing. and then later Dhritarashtra is hearing. So there's a qualification. There's something that what takes place when there's devotee association is Krishna Katha. Other things following the hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, etc. Different activities follow, but preliminarily there's hearing and chanting. And that's what association of devotees means, and that's what seva means. Seva is whether you're hearing or whether you're speaking. Thinking about this on the way over. So here's some association of devotees. And I was asked to speak, so I'm speaking. And you came because you wanted to hearing, so you're hearing. But one is serving the other, and the other is serving the one. We're here for service unto one another, whether one is speaking or listening. And that's what happens in bhakti vriksha gatherings. Someone may be the facilitator and more than others speaking, but sometimes others are speaking and the facilitator is listening. But and in the center is Krishna, in the form of Krishna Katha. Pravishta Karna Randrena Svanam Bhava Saro Ruham. Nice verse. Donoti Shamalam Krishnaha Salilasya Yata Sharat. Nice verse. Pravishta means entering. Pravishta Karna Randrena, the sound vibration Krishna Katha enters into the hole of the ear. Karna Randrena. Svanam Bhava Saroruham. Svanam means one's constitutional quality, one's very nature, one's very essence. Bhava, the state of ecstasy that exists in that constitutional position, that transcendental happiness becomes awakened. Svanam bhava saro ruham. In sequence, the sound vibration enters the ear, the sound vibration goes directly to the heart, and dhunoti shamalam krishnaha, that sound, Krishna, the Krishna Katha, the sacred sound of Krishna's holy name and topics in relation to Krishna. Dhunoti, it cleanses. Shamalam, all varieties of impurity. Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, etc. Amalam, completely. Dhunoti shamalam krishnaha. Then it gives a... this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, what the effect of Krishna Katha. And salilasya yata sharat. Yata is the metaphor, like or as. Sharat, the fall season. So after the hot summer season comes the rainy season. It's too hot. It makes everything very cool. And then the fall season, before winter. So everything is green, green, green from all the rain after the hot summer season. But the rivers have moved rapidly, churning the mud in the bottom of the river, and so the rivers become muddy and the lakes become muddy, And then at the end of the rainy season comes the Sharad season. So nice that it's one of Krishna's favorite seasons for performing rasa dance. We read in the Krishna book, Krishna's performing the rasa dance in the full moon night of the Sharad season. He likes. That's a nice time to be in Vrindavan too. So during that Sharad season, when the rain falls, it's very light, like a light drizzle, a light shower. And the nature of how that works is there's already some muddiness in the river, but a little tension and light fall of rain. Very quickly, the mud that's churned and suspended within the lake goes right to the bottom. And one can see deep within the lake as a result. Like that, the heart, shalilasya yata sharat, the heart becomes cleansed, pure, so that one can see deep within and see the self and see the soul's nature, the soul's natural state of happiness. And through the association of devotees, that's an opportunity, because for the hearing and chanting, there needs some, be either the hearer or the chanter, doesn't matter. The association permits both hearing and chanting, and the sound vibration then acts. Because the sound vibration will act anyway, but an additional happiness for Krishna is he sees the devotees associating like this. Those that are trying to come to him, they're hearing and they're appreciating. Because what happens through that association when you're hearing, I'm sure you've all experienced this, so I'm just now going to say something that you already know. But when you're discussing a verse or a set passage from the scripture, and we do this little exercise in some of the Bhakti Vriksha groups where it's not a lecture format, it's a discussion format, there's the question, okay, what's the main point in this paragraph or this verse? And when you hear the devotees discuss what they understood the main point to be, it's lots of things happen. The main thing that's going on is Krishna Katha. But you hear perspectives on the same thing that you just heard that didn't strike you. And then after coming up with what the main point is, then, okay, who would like to explain? Go back and explain it in your own words, and how different persons explain it, and how they understand how to apply it. Taking the topics and churning the topics in that way makes the topics so much more clear than the same amount of time you would have spent if you just read the verse in purport yourself. Plus, the appreciation of how deep are the realizations of these different devotees that I'm associating with, that I wouldn't otherwise have that kind of appreciation for them, and the depth of how they understand and appreciate the message that the message of bhakti. It strengthens our appreciation and regard for one another. Just is a natural process of putting Krishna Katha at the center and discussing. Katayantaschamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. In the language of Bhagavad Gita. This is what happens when we associate with devotees and make it our focus to engage in Krishna Katha. I'm going to read one other. Reference. This is Vidura speaking to Maitreya in Canto 3, Chapter 7. And Vidura is, when you think of Vidura, when I think of Vidura, I think he's up there. Not only because he's actually Yamaraj, who's one of the 12 Mahajans, then you can't get, that's way up there. But during the time of Krishna's presence, he was such a wise person that everybody took heed of his wisdom. Even Dhritarashtra, who didn't follow it, because he said he couldn't follow it because he was too attached, he regularly, almost always, consulted Vidura. Couldn't follow it. But he consulted and regarded Vidura with great esteem. And Vidura, feeling himself contaminated by the intrigue association of Dhritarashtra and his plotting and conspiring, he left the royal palace and went on an extended pilgrimage. We go sometimes on a pilgrimage. And we go for purification, but we may go for... I don't see how people can do this, but they say, hey, I went to Vrindavan and I spent a day and a half. How did you do that? How do you manage to go to Vrindavan and stay for a day and a half? And that for some extended period. Anyway, his pilgrimage was 34 years, visiting various holy places and hearing from saintly people, and he heard from Maitreya extensively and became a perfected soul. So here he is in the midst of hearing from Maitreya, who has directly heard from Krishna in detail the whole of Uddhava Gita and has realized it and is now passing on the essence. And it's not... Anyway, Maitreya is an exceptional personality. He's extending his words of... He's asking many, many questions, but he's expressing his gratitude for the opportunity to be in his association and hear from him. He says, "My dear sir, I'm obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea." I was just listening to a morning walk conversation. Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. Most of the mornings he went to the beach. You could hear the ocean in the background, but sometimes he went to a park and it was much quieter. And at the very beginning of the recorded section, who knows what happened just before that, or earlier that morning, or the evening before, or whatever it was. But the very sincere devotee, I mean, the voice, I didn't recognize who it was, but he said, he was saying, Prabhupada, I'm looking around and is what I'm seeing real? Because Prabhupada had been speaking about dreams and the night dream and the day dream, kind of when you're dreaming at night, you may become very afraid. You see a tiger or a bad dream, and then you wake up and where was the tiger? Or where was whatever it was that was making you afraid? But when that is going on, you're feeling that it's real. And there's all, you know, perspiration and palpitation of the heart, and then you wake up. And then when you wake up, all of that seemed like a dream, but when you were dreaming, all of what goes on during the day was forgotten. So, Prabhupada said, we take this one to be real because it's longer than that one. That one's shorter. But relatively speaking, when you're engaged in the night dreaming, you forget completely, and the vice versa, you forget completely. Maybe you can remember a little bit about what your dream was. And sometimes there's a state when you're half dreaming, half awake, and you know you're half dreaming, half awake. Anyway, and you know, something, you hear some sound, and oh, that's that, I need to go on, I want to go back to the dream. And the in-between state. But that which is non-enduring, asat, it's insubstantial. It's something. The chair is here. But before it was chair, it was, I guess this is a metal and plastic one, it was something else. It was elements in the earth. Some petroleum and some ore. And sometime after that, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. They'll melt it down and make something else out of it. So now it's a chair. Or the wooden ones, it's easier. It was a tree, and before it was a tree, it was earth. And after it's a chair, it's going to be a pile of ashes and some smoke and some water vapor. And then it's going to be, you know, go back to the elements and the earth again. So, what's real? What's real is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. And in between, we some other things. So that's what Maya means. It's something that appears to be real, but it's not real. Maya, not this. It's something, but it's not this, like the mirage in the desert. It's something. It's a reflection of the sun on the silicon, and it looks like water, but it's not water. It's a mirage. So this is like that, the mirage. So through association, it's not only, oh, okay, I get it, this is a mirage. But it's even further with one has in faith takes association of devotees, like of the caliber of Maitreya especially, there's the potency to come completely realized and no longer accept the mirage to be real. And if you don't accept the mirage to be real, what's real? What do you accept to be reality? That which is eternal becomes what you accept as reality. What a gift that is. But that gift can come from Krishna Katha, from the association of devotees. Even if the collection of us together in a Bhakti Vriksha group, there's not one amongst us who we can say is a perfect devotee. But if that which we're hearing and discussing is from a perfect person, then we're trying to gain the association of that person through that message that they left behind. The very beautiful verse in the prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb. Krishna hasn't taken birth yet, but Devaki is there and looking effulgent like a sun within the prison house of Kamsa. And the demigods have come. Later, Devaki said, I was hearing some voices. And what do you think that was? But it was the demigods offering prayers to Krishna, who hasn't taken birth yet. And one of the prayers they speak is that a saintly person, here it's Maitreya appreciating this, or Vidura appreciating this about Maitreya, or Sutta Goswami appreciating about what he heard from Shukadeva Goswami, which was what Shukadeva Goswami spoke, was what Maitreya said to Vidura. So, a great personality is one who not only crosses beyond the ocean of material existence, but they leave behind them the means, like a vessel, a boat, so that others can also cross beyond the ocean of material existence. These topics, similarly, that what Srila Prabhupada left for us, what we do in our Bhakti Vriksha groups is commonly we hear the messages from Bhagavad Gita or other teachings, scriptural teachings. And in reading the verses, we're getting Krishna's association, and the purports, we're getting our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada's association, and we're getting each other's association and our combined efforts to come close to that fire of bhakti and become warm, 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 warmer, ignite in the fire of bhakti, which can then take away all the impure things of the heart and assist us in the process of doing this to go on the other side of material existence. Right here in the suburbs of Chicago. In each other's association, even we're fallible beings. Because the process is right. Prabhupada said one industrialist spoke with him in Bombay and said, "Swamiji, how did you do this? What you've done is just wonderful." And Prabhupada said, "It's not what I've done is wonderful. I just took the proper means and followed it." Because the means, the proper means, is so powerful. I just had faith and followed it. And that's what happened. That's how I did it. So this Vaishnav Sangha or Vaishnav Seva, rendering devotional service, is one of the five most potent things. And if we take it up sincerely, carefully, and put Krishna in the center through these discussions, then all of these wonderful things that are being described can take place. He goes on, Vidura speaking. "By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses." Purport. The association of a bona fide spiritual master, like the sage Maitreya, can be of absolute help in developing transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotee. The word rati rashaha is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows. A living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows. When one is engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, one's surface attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. The one of the common things in Bhakti Vriksha groups that I've experienced, because I remember starting these, how many years ago was it, with Radha Gopal? 97, 98. How do you know?
I was there.
You were there? 97, 98?
I was attending the Vriksha.
You were? Yes? Wow. The one original one that was just a handful of people. You were there. Huh?
Manasi Ganga Mataji's house.
Yeah. You were there.
Yes.
Okay. I've got a bad memory. You got like the year down. What month was it? What day was it? Anyway, I remember those gatherings very much. I remember first meeting Radha Gopal. And right away, he was a unique person. And then he was, you know, very quietly, as I got to know him, I started asking, and he knew this system of Bhakti Vriksha. So I said, well, let's do it. Okay, we'll do it. And just gathering together and discussing Krishna Katha together. And wow. And I remember we went through, you know, different approaches this way, some liked it that way. And so it can be very fluid according to the group and the taste of the group. But the appreciation for those devotees that were attending became very strong, very quickly. Maybe a little too much, because then, you know, we weren't bringing in new people. We just liked each other's association so much. And when it came to, like, breaking into more than one group, it was, no, we don't want to break into more than one group. Hey, Mungi remembers. But that's part of what Bhakti Vriksha gathering is to do. It's expanding the network of loving relationships through this hearing and chanting. So there always must be, not only in our Bhakti Vriksha groups, but, you know, then take it on a, whatever the scale is, our temples or our society or whatever it is. Providing some space, some room, some welcoming of new people to come in and participate. So that may mean that discussion, just like, so that persons that are a little bit newer can appreciate what our topics are. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. So we decided, okay, we'll have one group that wants to just keep going with, like, consecutive study of Bhagavad Gita, and there's another group that can be where newer people can come and participate. But I understand kind of what you all have done is, at least in this side, three groups. And, you know,
three of us are doing three different books.
Three doing three different books.
We're doing a dropping section here. I think.
Okay. And there's a different flavor, this group, that group. But don't get attached, because, you know, in time, they'll also have to, you know, divide into other groups, and that's what's supposed to happen. And then, but it's not you'll lose something, you'll that those relationships will still be there, and other relationships will also form, and the flow of Krishna Katha and keeping Krishna in the center will expand, grow. One of the things that I remember specifically discussing with Radha Gopal, and gradually as the process evolved, is that the temple is a wonderful opportunity to everyone come together, wonderful kirtan, especially Jai Jagannath's wonderful kirtan, and wonderful deity worship, you know, opulent temple, and just nice festivals, dramas, and different, you know, come together and celebrate. And a lot of, on the other hand, it's not that it's you can't celebrate in Bhakti Vriksha groups, but a lot of the education and close one-to-one training commonly can take place there, because there's it's intimate, and of the things that do, or at least can, very naturally take place, is Vaishnava etiquette in a small setting. How do you interact appropriately, properly, naturally, nicely with other Vaishnavas? How do you respect another Vaishnava? How do you encourage another Vaishnava? How do you honor? Is that, and then the finer points of the teachings, because there's opportunity back and forth and discussion. Certainly those things can happen in the temple too, but making a little compare and contrast, that's something that's very unique and very wonderful, very special in Bhakti Vriksha groups. And that comes through this, that the topic is Vaishnav Seva, but Vaishnav Seva means all these things. Vaishnav Seva doesn't just mean, I don't know, like you cook for the devotees, or you serve the prasadam out for the devotees, and that's Vaishnav Seva, or you put the shoes in the shoe room, and that's Vaishnav Seva. That's all Vaishnav Seva. But engaging in Krishna Katha together is Vaishnav Seva. And helping one to grow, respecting one another's, whatever that position may be, helping one to gently take a little step toward Krishna in close association by, and the strength of the relationships that have formed through the closeness that comes from being in Bhakti Vriksha groups. This is also Vaishnav Seva. Standard kinds of devotee care come when the Bhakti Vriksha Vaishnav Seva activity becomes well established. And, you know, even, it's not even, certainly, in addition, outside of what takes place in the Krishna Katha, the regard for others as devotees. I remember when one family, they had some medical problem in the family. One of the children, something. And immediately the other members of the Bhakti Vriksha group just stepped right in, took care of, like, you know, necessities of the parents so they could look after the health of their child. They just did it. Just naturally. Like, support. And in our, I forget the term that they use now, but you know, where you don't even know who your next door neighbor is, and you know, people are so apart from each other. To have that structure, it's so important. But that care, that feeling, that sense of camaraderie and support, it happens naturally. When that closeness, spiritual closeness, comes from the association of devotees, the service of the devotees, the coming together with Krishna in the center. It happens naturally. And then the celebration part. Let's celebrate something in relation to Krishna. Celebrate Janmashtami, or celebrate, you know, have an outdoor festival, or like, come from India and join the Gita camp, and let's have a festival of Krishna consciousness. It just naturally happens. Inviting others to take part in that joyous function, it happens naturally. But at the heart of it all is the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then so many things come. Vaishnav Seva. Including your daughter getting a chance to look after the younger children.
She volunteered herself.
Well, she was one of the younger children. Now she's having been taken care of, she wants to take care of. It just flows naturally. And this way the network of loving relationships expands. Nice to see her growing up so nicely. She's gotten tall too. She's taller than you yet?
Not yet.
Huh?
Discovered.
Yeah? Okay. And counting. Okay, any discussion? Hey, Mangi?
I was appreciating the comment, the statement you made. is that even though two imperfect souls, if they're discussing and putting their faith in the message of a perfected soul, of a perfected personality, I was thinking, like, it's actually, like, I want a clarification if my understanding is right. So it depends upon the faith that we put in the soundbite, you know, the message of the perfected personality. And if the faith in the beginning is mixed and, like, it may be on the basis of some need, still, if you put the faith, the process will help you transcend from that mixed stage to a stage where the faith is.
Sure. Let me restate, and you can see how it is. I can put the context different, because do you remember the morning class when I made the comment that similar, even devotional service that's not performed in a purified state, but if we follow the standard, if we strive and cultivate to follow the standard given by Rupa Goswami, it counts, it's considered as Uttam Bhakti. And Avello popped a cork. What? Pure devotional service? So he came out after the class and went through it again. So it's the same question from a different vantage point, but according to Nectar of Devotion, the Nectar of Devotion is speaking about Uttam Bhakti, because bhakti is pure. Devotion is pure. Period. And it, to make it very clear, it's without karma and gyan, speculative knowledge and fruitive intentions. And it's cultivating that, following the perfected souls. That's Uttam Bhakti. So one may be impure, may be less than perfect. But now with this, where there's faith in, we'll be specific now, Rupa Goswami, and the teachings of Rupa Goswami, and the transparency of Rupa Goswami, the empowerment of the fullness of Lord Chaitanya's mercy went to Rupa Goswami, and he's giving us a lifeline, how to get out of material existence. Just grab the lifeline. Take the instructions of Rupa Goswami. Have faith. Hold on to that rope of Rupa Goswami's instructions. I may be less than perfect. That's counted as, in Rupa Goswami's teachings, Uttam Bhakti. It's in the immature stage. He still didn't get it. So what I did was I said, it's a matter of perspective. Then I physically stood over another part of the lobby. Said, let's look at the same thing from another perspective and say, that's mixed devotional service. The beginning stage. Of course it's mixed. Because one isn't pure yet. Look at this and look at that. Karma and gyan. It's mixed devotional service. Karma Mishra Bhakti, gyan Mishra Bhakti. Confirmed. Now, I walk up to the other part of the lobby and say, now we're looking at the same thing from the eyes of Rupa Goswami. So yes, it's a question of faith. And faith isn't just something blind, nor is it something that you just say but you don't do. Faith means you do. That's an indication that it's, let's say, mature faith. You do. At least, in Rupa Goswami's language, you cultivate actively. Now, one can cultivate and then slacken. Submission, then slacken. Be on the spiritual platform and, you know, drop out. Check out. But that's not, that's something else. That's anishchita bhakti, where faith is soft and pliable, or immature, not steady. Then one's devotion is unsteady, if one's faith is unsteady. But faith, when faith is steady, even I may be in this not yet purified stage, if I continue to carrying faith in my heart in Rupa Goswami and the teachings of Rupa Goswami, or Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, and those that are guiding me in approaching the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, who is representing Rupa Goswami's teachings transparently, I'll get there. And yogakshema vaham yaham. Krishna will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. And that requires faith. It's true, but that will happen, one will experience it in the case where one has faith and regularly engages in the activities of bhakti because of that faith. The purification will come. Immature, becoming mature, mature. Just as the stages of bhakti are described. So faith is essential. And faith can certainly grow. It does. Yes. Yeah.
So while developing that faith, the tendency to enjoy, the faith is there in the process, and you know, but in the mixed stage, knowingly committing the same mistakes over and over again, and at the same time thinking, okay, I'm having this faith, eventually I'll transcend. Does the soul benefit?
Yes. The benefit is eternal. Any contact. So it is there any benefit? Yes. Will one reach the ultimate goal? It diminishes the efficacy if we hold on to the degree we hold on to, and it's, let's say, are not striving to go beyond that other shelter. Say it incrementally. I know that I have, I acknowledge that I have this weakness, shortcoming, something, deficiency. And I know that it's continuing because I'm continuing to invest in it. Even I know better. Whatever that is, or a combination of things. It's like feeding an addiction. But supposing one not says, oh, okay, but not, I'm resigned to it, it's just going to be like that. I wish to go beyond it. In those cases, Krishna will send some resource to help one, or break it, or something. Take away. Hari. He takes away. When he shows some special mercy. That's, you know, that's a reciprocation with one who has a sincere desire, but maybe holding on. It can be gentle, it can be abrupt. But Krishna is very kind and he'll help us if we have that sincere desire. On the other hand, if it's deception, you can't cheat Krishna, he's the better cheat. Prabhupada would describe like that. You want to cheat Krishna, Krishna's the better cheat. One will get something not genuine. And it's a function of faith. And yes, we start mixed. So then it is very, very important where we repose our faith, because if it's not faith in saintly person, Rupa Goswami or a founder Acharya, it's going to be faith in something else. We're going to have faith in something because it's intrinsic to the soul. Prahlad, what's up? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Subal.
Maharaj, I was also appreciating when you equated or expressed that association is actually devotional. It's devotional service.
So yes.
Devotional service.
Yes, as we're doing, this is devotional service. We're assisting one another.
And especially, you know, it makes me appreciate and think, you know, how much important is that association, especially when we have the contact and we're exposed to non-devotional association. And so these particular activities of congregation, being part of a community and hearing and chanting together is basically a lifeline. And somehow or other, being able to develop that, make it more and more and more.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the week. So important for us.
Not only here in the Chicago area, but many places, Friday seems to be one of the popular days for having Bhakti Vriksha groups, because that's what our topic is. Vaishnav Seva and Bhakti Vriksha being an incubator for that. Two things. One is, it's something like a, on Friday evening, it's like a detox. From all week long, you know, as you'd said, you know, associating with the material energy and all the things that people have to do from Monday to Friday. So by the time people get together on Friday, you know, thank goodness it's Friday. And what some people do is they just go and drink, you know, just numb their brains, because... And for the devotees, it's, you know, we do the icebreaker thing at the beginning of the book. Okay, what was your realization? And the things that people, you know, your experience, some reciprocation with Krishna in the course of the week. And right away, it just... It's so nice. It's so nice. The sharing that people extend. And one of the Bhakti Vriksha groups, I think it was at Shivram's home, but there was one man that spoke when I came one time. And I think it was at your home. Might have been Anantashesha's home. I think it was at your home. And he said, I want to testify. But something like that. I've been studying Bhagavad Gita since, you know, I was a kid. And I can say honestly, I never understood it. And I've attended many different Gita study things, and I've never understood it. And someone said, so I thought, okay, I'll come to, here's another Bhagavad Gita study group, and I'll come and attend. He said, but what I've gained in the course of being here for just 3 months, I feel I now have some understanding of Bhagavad Gita that I never had for my whole life. And then he gets like, he wanted to do some more, so he said, and it's not just helping me understand, it's helping me be a better person. He said, I've got an anger problem. You remember this discussion? No, not like real bad anger problem, but, you know, sometimes at work, you know, that people, they would just say things in a way that, and now I just don't feel those feelings anymore. And I look at myself and go, wow, how'd that happen? Just from studying Bhagavad Gita with with the devotees, and I'm becoming a better person. Things that I would struggle with my whole life, perhaps, and never overcome. Just so there's the detox, and there's the, you know, just become. So now I just look forward to Friday night. Bhakti Vriksha Group is the highlight of my week. Not like a detox from the contamination, or maybe that's the wrong word. Become disinfected from the involvement of the material energy. But it's joyful. But it's so simple. Kirtan, Prabhupada's books, sharing with one another, japa, and prasadam. So simple. It's so transforming. There's a lot of potency in what we're doing, what we've been given. We're so fortunate. Yes?
Something very beautiful that his great father Hariras Prabhu told us during that Art of Kirtan seminar. He said that you purify yourself by your japa, or you purify your relationship by Sankirtan, right? This chanting and hearing together.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Anything else? Vibhu Chaitanya, you always have something wonderful to share. What do you got this evening?
I was thinking in my mind that Bhakti Riksha, I have attended Bhakti Riksha, I have facilitated Bhakti Riksha. Facilitation is more wonderful in terms of getting more realizations. And also, there are multiple things there. One is, first of all, we have to read through Prabhupada's purport.
Can you hear back there? I'll relay, and then you just ramp up the volume. Attending Bhakti Vrikshas is very wonderful. Facilitating Bhakti Vriksha, more wonderful. Realizations come. Then?
So, there are Bhakti Vriksha attendees who you start having relationship with. So, you get to know them and their behavior, and then when you read Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's purport, you try to think about what kind of thinking they will have and what kind of questions they will come up with, and you also read the purport like that, so with various perspectives, and then we also go and discuss that, and then there are so many wonderful things that come, and if I was the attendee, I may hear or may not listen sometimes, but as a facilitator I have to. So it is sometimes it is forced that you have to hear, listen, and then respond. So that gives a lot of realizations, in one sense. So I think the facilitation is something that's very nice.
So let's make more facilitators. Share the nice. Don't. And that one way to help share the nice is increase the numbers of bhakti rikshas, and also do that in the course of preparing for that, give others an opportunity to facilitate so they can get some training and so forth. Then it's like a spiritual family, a very natural, expanding spiritual family. Okay.